trials come to only make me strong. Through it all, oh, I have learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in never know what faith in God could do. But through it all, it all, oh, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all.
Trust him, he will provide. So I'm learning how to lean.
I'm learning how to lean and depend on Jesus. For he's my friend and he's my God. I'm learning how to lean and depend on Jesus. I'm building up in my trust. He will provide. I'm learning how to lean and depend on Jesus. For he's my friend. Oh, he's my
know he's our provider. I always think about he. God does provide for us. We definitely need to trust him. Put our trust in him. And just thinking, you know, I'm just really savoring the service we had over the weekend, Sunday. It's just such an inspiration, the whole service. I mean, just thinking about it the last few days and how that God has been meeting with us. We come to service here. It's been a blessing. I don't want to take it lightly, you know, and realize that, you know, he doesn't have to do that, but he's been meeting with us. He's been overshadowing us, you know, with his spirit and his blessings and our inspiration. I was Sister Painter testifying, you know, from Brother Fisher's great words, and that was touched us so. And I think that's the way it should be. You know, we should come to church expecting, you know, things from the Lord. And after all, you know, this is the house of God. And we meet here together. We not here, like somebody said, almost Brother Fisher said that about the not a social gathering, but we are sociable, but this is not a social gathering. But we're here on business. We're here for God's business, and that's what I like to be able to emphasize, you know, that we're here to lift up Jesus, singing those good songs, you know, that we all go through things, and Sister Pryor was singing that through it all. I think her brother knows, singing his, he used to sing that a lot, and that's the way it is. You know, God can keep us. Although we'll go through some things, you know, we'll experience some things, and what would it be if we didn't experience some things? If we can't look back and see that God's hand was in it all along, you know, when you're saying that, you know, God, and that's what helps me when I look back and I think, you know, God was in that, you know, at the time I might not have realized He was, but when I can begin to, you know, look back and see that God's hand was on in this situation, and that makes it so much, you know, real to us, you know, to know that that this is God's work. And I know I don't always recognize everything He does, but I want to look for God. I want to look for God in what's going on. I want to have my heart open to Him, and have my eyes open to see what God is doing and what He is putting His approval on. And so it's a blessing tonight to be gathered here once again. You know, Brother Smith texts me. He knows I don't text, but anyway, he texts me. And about the service tonight, I guess I told him, Brother Durham, I guess I'm going to have to get on board. And I mean, I'm not against texting. I just never have saw where it's necessary. If I need to talk to somebody, I call them, you know. But anyway, maybe I need to get on board. But anyway, I remember when I was telling Brother Durham, I said, I remember when I was working, I always called my boss, you know, if I need a day off or need to change my vacation or something. But time changed, and he said, don't call me. Send me an email, okay? All right, I'll send you an email. But anyway, you know, time changed and things changed. So, you know, I guess I have to consider that. But anyway, God is good to us, and God hadn't changed though. He's still God. He's still in the blessing business, and He still can heal. He can still touch our needs, and I don't want to forget that. He is still God. He is still in control, and I want to lift Him up and realize that. Sometimes, like I say, sometimes, you know, you can sail through life and things going good for you, and you might not realize your need for God. But I want to consider God and what He's doing, you know, and what He's doing in this world, and you know, what's happening around us. And God is blessing us. Brother Smith said they're having a great, great trip over there. So, but we do need to remember them, though. They're over in the Dominican. I'm sure they're warmer than we are, aren't they? Probably in the 80s during the day. So, but anyway, I don't envy them. I mean, I'll take this cold because I know it's not going to last. I know it's not going to be here much longer. It's going to get warmer. I live in this state long enough to know that it ain't going to always be cold. So, but anyway, somebody was in a store today, and this lady, I was asking how she was doing. She said, "I'm cold like everybody else." You know, anyway, it has been. But anyway, God is good to us, and seem like the older I get, seem like I'm ready to take a winter. spend my winter somewhere else. But anyway, you can't always do that. You know, I have to put up with it. But anyway, God is good to us in spite of everything. And I remember one time, this has been a long time ago, Brother Tucker used to take a bunch of folks on these bus trips. You know, he liked buses. And we went on this bus trip to Oklahoma City. They was having a meeting or something. I was real new. And anyway, the heater didn't work on the bus. It was like 10 degrees. I mean, it was cold. And we went to Oklahoma City without a heater on the bus and came back without a heater on the bus. And then the first service, you know, we had at home after we got back home, and a few people got up and testified. And they started talking about how cold it was on that bus. And Brother Tucker didn't like that. You know, he did not like that. We caught him pretty quick that he was not for that, you know. You know, we have to make sacrifices when we serve God. You know, he didn't want to hear no complaining, although it was cold. I'm glad I wasn't one of the ones that got him testified. But anyway, I remember that. And it was cold. You know, overall. Yeah, that's what he had on. I mean, he wasn't too cold. I mean, he probably was a little bit cold, but he had overalls on, you know. And I did. But anyway, we survived. He let us know, you know, that wasn't a thing to do. You know, we're supposed to serve God under all circumstances and not complain, not grumble. So that helped me. You know, I mean, I was just like the rest of them, but that helped me because we do. We, you know, things don't always go our way and things don't always, you know, they're not always pleasant. But it doesn't matter, you know, but we're to consider God and lift him up, serve him, and give him glory. And I'm learning. I mean, it just, you know, being around, you know, different ministers and their mannerism and their, you know, way they feel about God. You know, that's the whole thing. You know, it's just, you know, you like to tell somebody about something, but then they have to put it in their computer, and then they have to have their feelings about it. You know, this is the way I feel about it, but how do you feel about it? Like Jesus told his disciples, you know, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" You know, he was asking them a question. And they were told him different things, you know. Then he said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" You know, we all have to have our own opinions, our own feelings about things. We have to look at God, you know. Of course, God is God no matter how we see him, but we have to see him for ourselves. You know, we have to be able to put it in our computer and be able to have our feelings about God. You know, we have to have that. I have to personally have my own feelings about God. And whether they may be, you know, off base or whatever, you know, I may be a little bit, you know, wrong about some of the things, but still, I got to have, that got to be for me. I can't have it for you and you can't have it for me, but I got to have my own personal. You know, he has to be personal to me. And that's why I want him to be that way. I'm learning that I'm going to have to, although I can get help from you, Brother Durham helped me Sunday in the Bible study, talking about Whack-A-Mo game at Larry's Pizza. You know, it's a game they were playing, and he compared that to overcoming the flesh. And he said that you're not going to overcome the flesh whacking every little situation come up in your life. I guess I hope I'm saying that right. But anyway, he said that, but wait, I'm putting this in my computer, okay? That's where he, from where I looked at, what he said, was that the way we're going to overcome the flesh is not because not by whacking every little work of the flesh in our life, but it's by getting the love of God in our hearts, in our life. And having God's love in our life, then we begin to allow God's love to work in our life. Then the works of the flesh will begin to, I don't know if you said melt away, or they'll just begin to fall off. Now, that's my computer on what he said. But now, y'all have to get the tape and listen to it, then you can get it for yourself. But anyway, you know, we're working in God's kingdom, and each one of us, you know, have our part to play, and each one of us, you know, have to, you know, I can't, you know, even our kids, you know, our children, we like to help them as much as we can, but they're going to have to see God for themselves. They're going to have to get this in their lives, just like we have been blessed to receive the things of God in our lives, and they're going to have to do the same thing. They're going to have to be able to get God's word, his spirit, get it working in our lives, and I appreciate this tonight. Beginning to work out like we're doing here tonight. Beginning to allow God, to his spirit, to work in our lives, and that's what it's going to take. It's going to take Brother Pryor's message Wednesday. We're talking about, you know, things that it's going to take God, you know, working in our lives. He painted some good pictures, and I appreciate him. I appreciate all that I can get to help me to go on. And I don't want to just be walking this way just considering myself all the time, but I want to be able to help somebody else. I want to be able to help others. And that's what this is all about. You know, we're not serving God just for ourselves, but we're serving God to, we're paving a road. You know, there are people that's going on that's done things to help us, allow us to be here. You know, even in this church, I think about Sister Lynette was talking the other night about some of the older folks that, you know, that was, and when I look at it now, I think, well, those folks that we called older folks then, they was my age, you know, now. And they used to have prayer on Tuesday, and they'd go down to, I don't know, they'd come to church on Tuesday and have prayer Tuesday morning. I don't know how many it was. But anyway, Brother Spratley and Sister Tucker and Sister Tony, and I don't know who all it was. But anyway, they'd go meet and have a little coffee after prayer. And I thought that was, they was keeping the fires burning. They was praying, you know, in this church, and I appreciate it very much. And we're going to have to keep that going. We're going to have to keep praying. We're going to have to keep touching God, because there's somebody else, you know, that's coming along that's going to be able to benefit from it. We're benefiting from other people that labor, and I'm thankful tonight for that. Thankful for everybody that said a prayer, that stayed faithful on the job. I appreciate it very much. And we need to continue that. Continue doing that. Being faithful. Praying. Seeking God. Because this is progressive, and we're headed toward a restored church. Who was that? Brother Melvin, Brother Doom talking about the restored church, and Brother McGowan, his words. I appreciate them all. You know, we may not be there yet, but let's keep going. Let's keep pressing on. You know, this is the pressing way. You know, we have to keep pressing on. We have to keep going on, and we have to keep staying encouraged. If you feel like you're getting down, get up, get encouraged, because this is the pressing way. We have to go on. We have to walk on and keep allowing God to help us and realizing it's God that's helping us. And I'm so thankful tonight. We might ought to ask prayer for God's people here. This time, and Brother McGowan called. He's sick tonight. He had some kind of stomach problem. Remember him. See Brother Daniel's here. Good to see him here. And keep praying for him. Brother Smith, yes. Yes, just continue to pray for the folks over there. I don't know if the meeting already started or starts tonight. All right. So remember them over in the Dominican Republic. All right. Brother Stewart. of my brother Stuart's father. Pray for him. Good to see Sister Tiffany here tonight. Bless you. And let's see, what other? Brother Maine. Yes, let's remember. Pray for him. I don't know. Were they doing anything for him? Did anybody know? Were they? Okay. Just remember, Brother Maine. All right. Any other? Sister Lynn. Brother and Sister Crow. Brother Dotson. Sister Donna and Brother Dotson. Sister Linda, too, she was requesting prayer. Remember her and pray for her. All right. Anybody else? Sister Cindy. Oh, good. I don't know if you could hear Sister Cindy, but she said, what, one of the tests or some of the tests? Came out real well on her mom. She requested prayer for a Sunday, I believe. Keep praying. Thank God for that. We'll keep praying for her. And any other? But my, your mother, Sister Jenny, remember her, Jenny, right? All right. For you, okay. Those are prayers, request and prayer for meeting to go favorable for him tomorrow. All right. Okay. Any other requests? All right. Ma'am, sir? Brother and Sister Crow, yes. Remember them. All right, brother. The ushers come up and we'll let's all stand and take these needs to the Lord. Ask that God will help his people. Lord, we thank you for this time, Lord, this opportunity to come before you. Bring our needs, Lord, and we know that you can help us. Lord, that you have all power in your hands. Lord, we lift you up. I ask that you help our needs. Brother Smith, Sister Smith over in the Dominican Republic, Lord, be with them. Brother and Sister Crow, Lord, help them. Touch them, oh God. Lord, I touch each need, each request, Lord. Spoken and unspoken request, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord, help us. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Jesus. Oh, glory. Oh, God, help your people. Lord, help these for the proud request about his job, his meeting, Lord. For each one, Lord. Brother McGowan, oh, Lord, remember him. Help him with the Daniels. Oh, Jesus, Lord, we thank you. Oh, God, we thank you. Jesus. Oh, blessed be your holy name, God. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Thank you.
Well, it's good to be here. I'm trying to be more faithful in attendance, but I figured you would cancel the second service Sunday, so I didn't make it here. And I know from experience I'll never make another watch night service, because I can stay up till 12:30 and not bother me. But the night we had the watch night service, by the time I got back to Conway and got in bed, the next day I was just so sleepy and groggy and all out of kilter, so I don't think I can handle another watch night service. But I'm glad to be here, and you know, I don't think, if I wasn't here, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be in any church, because I went through the United Pentecost, and I went through with the Baptist. Well, my dad, when I became Pentecost, my dad almost disowned me. He said, "I raised you right, now you've been ruined." Said, "You go down there and act like a fool with this Pentecost." But, you know, you'd like for your relatives to be able to see, but God is saving whom he wants to save, not who we want to see saved. So it's, but anyway, I don't like that P word, you know, but my neighbor, atheist neighbor, late recently, he was saying, "You know, I don't have a religion." And he didn't say it, but I imagine he meant, "I don't have a religion, and I'm proud of it." I imagine that's what he meant. But, you know, if you were a non-religious person and you were skeptical, you could look at some things, you know. You could look at all this division in religion, you know, and you could say, "Well, look, they can't even agree, so there must be something wrong." And then you know, you could look at things in the Bible. Some of the things the heroes in the Bible did, like Abraham gave his wife to another man, then he took her maid and had a child, then he ran the mother and the child off, and then he almost killed his second son. So I can see where people, you know, if they just looked at it literally, they could find skepticism. But you know, Jehovah's pest, I call them Jehovah's pest, always coming by. Recently I said, you know, the two witnesses are the Old and New Testament. So he said, I'm going to bring you some literature. So he made a special trip to bring me back. He made a special trip to bring me back some literature. And I mean, it was nothing. Can you imagine being among a people that has no more perception than that? I mean, he said back in 1918, Jehovah's Witnesses, Judge Rutherford and the leaders, they went through some persecution. They were locked up for quite a while, so that fulfilled the two witnesses. So you can imagine being in a system that had no more understanding than that. So we are a blessed people to, like I said, if I wasn't here, I wouldn't be anywhere. The last church I was in was in Conway, and it was a non-denominational Pentecost. And when I came here, I mentioned Harry Hampel. His name was Harry, and he was Harry because he had a full beard. So Brother Tucker said, "Yeah, I've heard of him. He visited Brother Eckleberry's church." So the next time I got a chance to talk to Brother Eckleberry, he said, "Yeah," I said, "he came, you know, he came and talked quite a while for people of our understanding." But I wonder, I mean, I found out that he was running around on his wife and drinking beer. In fact, one time I was out at his house, he asked me if I ordered a beer. So I kind of lost confidence in him. I wonder if he was drinking when he was up preaching. Maybe that's the reason he could get loose like he could. But anyway, so much deception, you know, in politics and in religion and in the media. You know, the media, they try to twist things, like came out here not long ago that said in the part of the world that Abraham lived in, there could not have been camels. Well, there could have been camels in surrounding countries, but boy, the media, they like to run with that and say, "See, that shows the Bible is not true." And anything the media can do to discredit the Bible, that's what they want to do. And in medicine, I've been reading this book on alternative cures, and you know, it talked about, I mean, medicine is good, but It's such a business. I mean, it's some of the medicine, the profits are like several thousand percent. I mean, it's a lot better than what they make on a barrel of oil. I mean, the percentage. So there's a lot of doctors are pill pushers. And so I read they've even got a pill that if you're shy, you can take a pill for shyness, or if you've got a fear of public speaking, you can take it. It told the name of the pill. You can get a prescription for fear of public speaking. So anyway, I remember, I believe it was Brother Will Souders that first mentioned that religion was going to come under one head. And Brother Tucker used to talk about that. He said, people would ask him, even the Pentecostals? And he said, even the Pentecostals. So some of you might have seen the article in the paper Saturday. I'm not up on all this technology, but it was a smartphone video somewhere or another. And Kenneth Copeland was having a ministry meeting, and on the big screen was the Pope. And the Pope, I believe this Pope is reaching out to Protestants more than the previous Pope. And so the Pope said, you know, we all believe in the same Lord, and we need to get together and be in unity. And they said, Kenneth Copeland, he was saying, glory, glory, glory. The Pope is asking for us to pray for him. God's healing the body of Christ. So so anyway, it's good to be in the true body and not in the false body, but there's so much deception out here. Just to think, intelligent people, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we could be blind. You know, God has, we're not special. He just has people, he has vessels of mercy, and we just happen to fall on the good side of God. So anyway, it's especially good to be here after not being here Sunday, so it's good to see you all.
Glad that be able to come together with you folks tonight, and I'm glad that God is in control. And you know, you wonder, you know, what part of this can we blame God on? Well, none of it. You know, I mean. Sometimes in our early walk in our Christian life, it is kind of a hit and miss type thing, isn't it? But we still believe, we still go on. And because reason it is a hit and miss, because you just don't know everything. You can't, you don't know everything about everything. I certainly didn't. I was thinking as Brother Fleming was talking about different things. I got a letter in the mail today from a friend that he sent the letter to me and other people he knew, and he was proclaiming his rededication back to his religion that he had come out of. He was baptized in the Baptist church. He was a Seventh-day Adventist, and then went to the Baptist church for 27 years and baptized there. I don't know what you do, you know, how all that works out there, but he became an Adventist again. And then after reading the letter, I learned a few things. He wasn't just a nominal Adventist. I didn't know there was such. I thought, you know, I guess like everybody else, they've got different levels of whatever your particular brand of religion is, and you know, because one of his in his talk, he was talking about nominal religion and nominal Adventists. That's what, who he was being pointive about. You know, he was, I'm not them guys. You know, I'm the real deal, real Adventist. And that's what his, you know, that's what he was kind of saying. And I don't think he meant it the way, like, I'm not like them old guys over there. You know, I think he was just, you know, just making a statement. I'm trying to be as, be all you can be, you know, in what you're doing. And he was talking about, of course, if you know anything about the Adventist movement, they're pretty studious, but they really focus on the Sabbath, what they call the Sabbath. And what I didn't realize is why they do. You ever know, you know, if you've been around people that of different faiths, and you know, y'all have, y'all got friends, and well, why do the Baptists believe like they do, and why do the Pentecostals believe like they do, and why do the, you know, the Church of Christ believe like they do, and of course the Adventists, and I got something, I didn't have to agree with it, but I wanted to understand why they believe so strongly on the Sabbath. You know, and this is probably just one of the reasons. I'm sure there's several other strengths they could bring out if you was to visit one of their churches. But his letter, this particular letter, one reason they believe on the Sabbath day is that because the Roman Church started the Sunday as a day of rest or go to church or, you know, a day of religious activities, I guess I should say. And this is their take on it. And since they're the ones that instituted that, if you do it, then you're falling under the authority of the Roman Church. And that's kind of their logic, you know, behind that. If you do that, then you're accepting the authority of the Roman Church and all that. Well, I don't think so, but you know, that's kind of their logic and everything. But it's good that you know, you wonder, well, where all these people get these ideals and everything? Where are these, you know, where's all that come from? You know, well, If you know anything about church history, you know that, you know, there was what we call the first church. Sometimes we refer it to the early church, and I don't know if that's correct anymore, but y'all get my meaning. And with that early church, we call it a 2-day, which was a 40-year dispensation, and that the glory of that church ended about, I guess we say, about 70 A.D., somewhere around there. And then, and the way we base that history on is there in Revelations, they got the, you know, they opened up a seal, and there's a white horse. And it went, I think it went forth conquering and, or I forgot how that goes, but anyway, then the second seal was a red horse. Well, those horses represent churches, church ages, and it represents other things, but does represent that. And that when the church turned red, that meant, as we teach, that meant sin started entering into the church. And I'm not sure how to explain that. Sin was already in the church, but it meant it probably really had to do with leadership, quite honestly. Probably Brother Fleming, politics and things of that nature, you know. But anyway, be that as it may, it all became, soon it all, after a while, it all fizzled out and became a, the There was the black horse, then the pale horse, yeah. What we know as the Roman Church, Roman Catholic Church. And then that, they ruled, they were kind of the big thing going for a while, you know, and it all got intermingled with civil governments and all that kind of thing. And there's, and in that, there were some good Catholics. There was actually good popes in there that did good things. But the overall, maybe not so good. Especially at the end of the deal when they started Inquisition and stuff like that, and wasn't so good back in. Well, then came along a guy named Martin Luther, and he was a Roman Catholic priest, and he started actually reading the Bible, you know. Imagine that. And that's God's Word. I think I'll read it. And then he found some things that he didn't agree with, you know, and with the church there, and I think he made attempts to, you know, go to leadership and, hey, what about this? What about this? And they just dismissed him, you know, sort of as it were. And then so he made 95 what they call it, theses. Is that what they call it? And he nailed it on the Wittenberg, Germany door, and you know, of course, when he did that, that stirred up some stuff. Well, long story short, as he rocked along there, and he got persecuted, and so because his platform was the just shall live by faith, and that kind of messed up the Catholic doctrine there a little bit, because they, you know, and so they got after him, and so he got persecuted and took off, his intent was not just, well, I'm going to go out and start my own movement. It just developed that way. He had no choice in the matter. It just, you know, well, I've got nowhere to go. They don't want me in over there, and so, you know, I'll just have to, I have to preach God's Word, what I think the truth is, and he did so, and then it became what was known as the Lutheran Church. Well, after he died, they held on to that, but they didn't go any further. They just, you know, just shall live by faith. That's our main platform, and that's all we need. Bless God, you know, and we're the church. Matter of fact, they might even say we're the body of Christ. You know, they might have made that proclamation. I don't know. You know, and well, a little bit later on, there's a group that come up called the Anabaptists. And their platform was, well, when you baptize, you need to be immersed. You know, you need to go all the way under. Well, now you would think that here the Lutherans over here, praise God, a new revelation. You know, my God, baptized by immersion. Why did we think of that? Man, how come we couldn't get that, you know? Well, did they say, well, hallelujah, let's grasp that, let's embrace that? No. They didn't do that. No. You guys, you know, y'all not right. The Anabaptists not right. They shouldn't, you know, we've already got all the doctrine right and all that. And I guess I'm going to have to back up a little bit. Because what happened, the reason they're seeking truth, because the truth was lost during the decline of the church, and when it became, well, they call it the Dark Ages for several reasons, but it was dark spiritually too. And so the truth was lost within the Catholic Church because of, you know, they had all kinds of ceremonial things and really didn't study the Bible or didn't really understand the Bible. It was lost in there. So, and that's the reason Martin Luther, you know, got his his thing, and then Anabaptists come out with there. Well, and then the Lutherans start persecuting Anabaptists, you know, killing them. Well, you know, why can't we all just get along? Well, they thought they had doctrines just like everybody else did, that, you know, that, you know, those are heretics. We gotta, you know, and they claimed this thing, we gotta show them their error of their way, and how to do that is to persecute them, you know. And so they did that, and then from that, you know, the Wesley boys come along, and then other groups come along, and they, and in other words, they progressed with knowledge. They become spiritual knowledge. You know, they kept getting more knowledge, and that's what we call the Protestant movement. They protested the falsehood of the Roman Catholic Church, and if you're not Catholic, then you are Protestant, or part of it, part of the Protestant movement anyway. And so here we, that's come out, and here we are today. And we actually come from what they call the Pentecostal movement, which started back in the turn of the century, or actually I can't say that no more, the 1900, anyway. We done turned it again, haven't we? I got to remember what year I'm in. You know, you can't say 19, turn of the century, we've been 2000, so we can't go there no more. And there were things, events that happened, you know, and then that movement come along, and then this movement come out of that, you know. There's Brother, Brother Fleming mentioned Brother Souders, and he got revelations, and he got revelations from other people too. Probably some of the Seventh-day Adventists, Worldwide Church of God, I don't think it bothered him that it didn't originate with him, but he embraced truth. That was his. I'm going to embrace truth, you know, and so here we are, you know, we're rocking along, and we're still seeking truth, aren't we? And so, overall, God is in control. And so, and that should be our hearts, is to embrace truth, to seek truth. And what was that game Brother Talley was talking about? Whack-a-mole. The whack-a-mole game. The whack-a-mole. Well, I'm going to give you my whack-a-mole message. And I'm sure this is just part of it, you know. This is just part of the... because there's just so much, you know, we... because, you know, you start talking like this and you get into what people call greasy grace, you know, and it's not all, you know, you can't do anything you want to do. And then you get legalistic over here on the other side, you know, no, it's not all, you know, how you establish your own righteousness, as it were, you know, by the law or whatever laws you come up with, you know. But it's God in control. But, Brother Paul here, in my coming up, in my understanding, when I was young, I kind of liked that greasy grace. You know, I could excuse myself sometimes. And then, after I started learning a little bit, I got legalistic. I did this. I was looking for that tie clip, brother. I might start talking in. Anyway, I did that. Well, that was just growing. You know, you hear ideals, you don't know. I mean, you. And so, if you're here tonight, and you hear something new, and you don't know, well, it's just. But we need something to jar us every now and then, you know. We need something to shake us up a little bit. We get too complacent, you know. Yeah. Yeah, and you said something about that, and you know, make us think a little bit. You know, am I really serving God? You know, and I think the Bible says, examine yourselves. See whether you be in the faith or not. Should we not do that? Well, how do you know to do that? Well, usually when you hear something adverse to what you believe. I mean, there's other reasons too, you know. I'm trying to say something about confessing too much. Yeah. Just let it out, huh? Well, you know, you go down the road and someone pulls out on you and they, in front of you, slow down and they're looking at rear mirror and just smiling, you know. And you cuss them out of your horn. You know, you didn't say nothing, but boy, you laid on that horn, didn't you? And you knew what you think, didn't you? You thunk it, you know. Ah, yeah, I like you. Well, that's probably a good time to examine yourself, you know. I have to do that too. So, and that's what I'm trying to say. It's. I'm not up here saying, now you folks need to get right. I'm right here with you. I need to get right. Well, and so that's why we hear things, you know, and we want to consider. In a day of adversity, consider your ways. And so if you hear something adverse to what you've always believed or what you always heard, kind of puts you out of your comfort zone a little bit, consider your ways. Because Jesus said, he told some religious people, he said, wait for it. I'm trying to remember what he said. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And he was talking to religious leaders back in. He's telling them to search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Well, what he meant was, yeah, you study it, but you're not getting the point of it. You're not getting what it means, you know. Because sometimes the Bible, sometimes it don't always say what it means. It just sometimes it just means what it means. And anyway, let me get back to whack-a-mole here. And this is just part of the equation. I know that. I'm not trying to conclude anything, because I know there's brethren here that can, you know, they can whoop it on you. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 1st verse. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up with life. And that's what Brother Talley said. That we're not trying to chip away at this or chip away at that so much, but to get the love of God in our hearts for Him and His people. That mortality, that we but clothe upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. And so, well, do we quit doing what we're doing and just think that way? No. No, no. Paul said, I keep my body under. At least after I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. So we still walk circumspectively, don't we? We still walk in the light as we have it. But still have that hope. That hope that that mortality we swallowed up with life. Because God is in control, isn't He? He is in control. Let's believe Him.
Tell you the latest, He's taken an
In you. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here. And let's remember, everybody be here Sunday. Promise me. All right. Well, pardon me? Well, I think Sunday is dinner day. Is that correct? I believe it is. I don't know what's for dinner, but anyways. Ooh. Ooh. That's worth the trip. All right. Mexican food. You got a little on the side to spice it up if you need to. It's going to be already spiced up. We'll see. All right. Remember that. And let's remember our needs to request that's been mentioned earlier. So let's remember God's people. Pray for them. Be prayerful this week. And come back Sunday. All right. God bless you. Lord, we thank you for this day. This night. Appreciate your goodness, Lord, you've shown us. Go with us, Lord, to have many different. Keep your hand up on each one, Lord. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.